Good morning, and it's really good to have you listening online to us. Today we're starting our new Lent series, which we're transitioning through the Book of John, through the period of Lent, and our Sunday sermons will be following a set of talks called the Signs series, which are there really to add to the other things that we're looking at through Lent, and which Mark will have been talking about already, about the 40 days of reflection through the Book of John. So as we start, I thought just a very, very quick introduction into John. John in a nutshell. Now, John as a book is it's got four major themes. First one, make sure we know who you're talking about. So it's Jesus as creation. Jesus, the Word, spoke all things into being. John the Baptist acknowledges him and humbles himself. The disciples are drawn to him. And it's a declaring of the divinity and the divine authority of Jesus before his ministry begins. The second section is the ministry of Jesus. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. He was both human and spiritual. He had both human and spiritual control. And there were signs and wonders that abounded. The third section is the conclusion of his earthly ministry, his betrayal, his death, his resurrection. And the fourth section, the establishment of a new divine order. He bears witness to his victory over the grave. He sets up the new order. He empowered his kingdom, his disciples and the believers with the Holy Spirit. Unlike Mark, Luke and John, Luke and Matthew, who focus heavily on the where and the when, John focuses on the who and the why. His writing continues to point to the divine and holy character of Jesus and leads us to make a response. He makes this very plain when he says in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We start this season of the signs, where we're looking at the seven signs. So what are these seven signs? Well, the seven signs in the gospel speak to the divinity and the supremacy of Christ. There is so much to look at in each of these signs, so much insight to gain, and over the coming weeks of Lent, let's be open and afresh to what God wants to teach us. But as we start the series, let's remind ourselves of what the seven signs are. So, get your Bible ready, dust off those good old Sunday school memories as we do the seven signs quiz. Now, because you're listening online, you've got an advantage. You can now pause. You can go and run and get a Bible. You can go and have a look up these scriptures and find out what these are. For those who are going to be joining on Sunday in the service and we're here, it'll be a live quiz. So you're at an advantage. So what are these seven signs? The seven signs that we're talking about. Sign number one, water into wine, the wedding of Cana. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that a little bit later on. Sign number two, someone's son. Jesus, when he heals the government official's son. Sign number three, healer and judge. Jesus heals a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Sign number four and five in 1 week, unbelievable. The feeding of the 5,000 and walking on water. Sign number six, light. Jesus healed a man who had been blind since birth. And sign number seven, life. The miracle of Jesus when he raises Lazarus from the dead. Obviously, the greatest of the miracles isn't here in these signs. The greatest of the miracle comes on Easter, when the death and the resurrection of Christ. So let's start looking. Water into wine. Sign number one. So today I want to start us off with this first sign. It's the wedding of Cana, turning water into wine. So let's remind ourselves of where John's gospel of the story. It starts in chapter 2 and it's verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone jars, the kinds used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding between 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some of that out and take it to the master at the banquet." They did so, and the master at the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved it the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So let's set the scene. It's a big wedding. Seems like everyone has been invited. Jesus was already getting noticed. We read in John chapter 1, verses 29 and 32, that John the Baptist had already declared to the crowds that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and the one who the Spirit of God had descended on as a dove. In John 1, 33 to 51, Jesus gathers his disciples. Jesus and his disciples were already a known crowd, since they were all invited to the wedding. So, it's a family affair close to home. The likelihood is that Jesus would have been known to lots of people. There is Mary's boy. The rumours and the gossip would have been in full flow from those who had witnessed or heard about what John the Baptist had said. And it was just 6 miles walking distance from Nazareth. I love the section, verses 3 to 5, which reads, "When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Woman, why do you involve me?' Jesus replied. 'My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to his servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Well, lots of very clever theologians have debated verses 3 to 5 over many, many years. You'll be pleased to hear I'm not one of those. I just really want to take this at face value. Mary had raised her son. She'd seen her son grow. She knew the promises and the purposes of his life. After all, the angels had declared it. The kings had confirmed it. And the people in the temple were amazed by him as a boy. She had it all confirmed by John the Baptist and by the gathering of the disciples. She gives Jesus a nudge. If there was ever a case of ask for a miracle to help your friends, this was it. It seems Jesus is a little nervous, like the first time you drive a car or stand at the top of a cliff with a thin rope and they say, "Just lean out and let the rope take the strain." But Mary knows her son isn't going to let her down. This scripture is one that is very special to me. This was the scripture at my wedding, myself and Teresa's wedding, a number of years ago. And it's quite commonly used as a wedding, obviously as a wedding theme for a wedding sermon. And the one thing about the wedding, and I think it's a really important thing to look at and consider, is you just want the day to be perfect. How much planning is going in to make that wedding day work? Now, for me, I didn't have that much to do, it's fair to say. I had to consider, do I want to follow my German heritage or do I want to follow my Scottish heritage? If it was my German heritage, it was a lederhosen. If it was my Scottish heritage, it was a kilt. The kilt won the day. But then, who are we going to invite to this wedding? Who's going to sit down? Who are we going to sit with? who are we going to sit who with next? His aunt, is that aunt going to sit next to that aunt? What type of service are we going to have? Well, Therese and I couldn't really decide. So we decided to just have, try to mix it up and have quite a lot of different options. So we had a Catholic priest, we had a Pentecostal minister, we had a gospel choir, and we had our wedding in a medieval Church of England church. It was a great collection of parts of our faith. What are we going to serve at the reception? How many vegetarian, how many vegan? Is it a three course, is it a four course? How much wine do we need to provide? Is it going to be a free bar? I hope that everyone will enjoy our big day. Stories can sometimes be told, and memories of weddings. You really want to make sure that your wedding isn't remembered for the wedding where the wine ran out. So let's just look at this miracle. Jesus, following his mother's nudge, does three things. Number one, he requests the water. This is the water used by the guests to wash their hands. So pretty much water from the bathroom basin. He performs the miracle. He delivers the miracle through his servants. No great scene, no distraction from the main wedding event, no great pomp and ceremony. But wow, what a miracle. I just fancied doing a bit of the looking at the quantity of and the scale of this miracle, because it's something that I haven't really considered that much. So let's have a look at the maths, the miracle mathematics. A, one water vessel holds 30 gallons of water. Six vessels were used, says that in verse 6. So 6 times 30 is 180 gallons. Okay. B, 1 gallon of wine makes 5 750 milliliter bottles of wine. So 180 times 5 is 900 bottles of wine. It takes 1,200 grapes. 1,200 grapes are used to create one bottle of wine. So that's 1,200 times 900 equals 1,080,000 grapes created. That's some miracle. But it's not a matter of mathematics. Jesus here showed his authority over nature, the ability to change water to wine in the blink of an eye, shows his divine authority over nature. It showed the generosity of his blessing. It wasn't a couple of bottles of good stuff from the co-op. This was 900 bottles of fine wines. It was a blessing that even the most discerning had no option but to be blown away by. The master of the banquet, who probably knew a thing or two about wine, was that impressed he pulled the bridegroom to the side to compliment both the wine and him. The bride and the bridegroom were not only saved from the disaster of wine running dry, but were blessed. And they were blessed with abundance. There are some critical factors here. This is the first miracle where Jesus reveals his glory. The first miracle that supplied sustenance to the masses. A miracle that stood apart from those that could discount a healing as, well, not sure he really had a headache. The first miracle that was assigned to the disciples of his power and authority and his humility. And an example to show that his blessing is given through his servants. Maybe that's why the disciples didn't question too much when he fed the 5,000. But that's a story for another day. I really want to focus this morning on the blessing, and the blessing in abundance. What Jesus did in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verse 11. There are three distinct areas that I feel the Lord wants us to focus on today. Three areas for us to consider. Three areas where the Lord wants you to know his abundant blessing. Three areas where through his blood poured out for you and his spirit prompting that he wants to refresh you. Today I want you to receive his abundant blessing. His abundant blessing for today, this is the day for serving. Is this the day to say yes to serving Jesus? Is this the day to be open, to be a part of God's abundant blessing for others? Is this the day to say, here I am, wholly available? Are you open today to say, Jesus, use me? Just like those servants that Jesus used when he turned the water into wine. Is this the day that Jesus wants to launch you through serving into his ministry? Or also, is this a day of acceptance? Sometimes in this story we hear how the bride and the bridegroom, they were blessed. They were blessed without realizing. But it was an element of acceptance. Accepting the fact that this blessing came. Accepting that, wow, we've been blessed. And I think there is a point here. Because sometimes we find it hard to accept that Jesus loves us. So I'll just put it as a pointed question. Do you find it hard that Jesus loves you? Do you find it hard to accept that Jesus wants to bless you? Do you feel guilty about being blessed? Sometimes the old saying, it's better to give than to receive, can be misplaced. Just like at the wedding of Cana, the bride and the bridegroom were blessed without asking, blessed without knowing, but blessed nonetheless. Is today the day that you can be released from those feelings of not being worthy enough? Not done enough to earn it. Just not able to accept his blessing. It's fine for others. I'm quite happy for them, but I'm okay, thanks. I really want to pray for you to be blessed and to be released to accept his gift for you, for his love for you, his presence for you. And then there's a day of refreshing. You may have drunk of his wine. You may have fond memories of times that you felt so fresh and alive in your faith. Today is your day. Today is a day for your refreshing. Come to his altar with arms outstretched. Receive his new wine for you today. Be renewed in your vigor. Be renewed in your spirit. Taste and see again today, the almighty refreshing of your Lord and your Saviour. So today, is it today the day for you? Is it a day of serving? A day for accepting? And or a day for refreshing? It's very difficult when you're listening to a service, a talk online, to be able to respond to that talk. But I really want to give an opportunity for you to respond. If everything that I've said today has prompted you in your spirit, if anything today has just nudged you and said, I really need to respond to this, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. want to pray the Lord's blessing upon you. It would be really good to hear any response back. Send an email into the church or a message into the church just to say that you've responded to some of this, and that would be really helpful. But I also have, while I was preparing this talk, I also had three specific words that I think is right and fair to share. They'll be shared again on Sunday in person, as well as you're hearing it online. Picture, first one was a picture. And if any of these three bring resonance to you, then again, I would ask you to open your heart when I pray, just to accept God's blessing in them. First one was a small drops, just very, very small drops of water falling on barren land. Today, the flower is breaking through. Today, the flower is breaking through. And then I had a picture of a boat. Now, the boat was coming towards a swing bridge, and the boat is full of praise and worship. There's lots of noise, lots of activity, lots of excitement, lots of praise and worship going on. And the swing bridge is full of people praising on the swing, on the swing bridge. And as the swing bridge opens, the praise of those on the bridge and the praise of those on the boat just mingle together. And they just join together. And then the boat moves into an open river, lined with the people of curiosity. I think there's a real word here. I think there's a real word which is saying, today is a day to launch that mission. Today is a day to launch that work that God has been putting on your heart through praise, through worship, and launch into its new path. And then a real strong word which resonates with me. It's a very strong word and very strong and direct question. Is it well with your soul? I want to pray you feel a depth of comfort and healing at the core of your being. So again, you can cry at first in tears of pain, flowing to tears of joy. Yes, my Lord, it is well with my soul. I could have covered a lot of areas there. And today I want to pray as we end this talk. Heavenly Father, my dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this, I pray, Lord, that you will be close to them now. Your spirit will touch them. Your blessing will be upon them. In Cana, it was wine to refresh those at the wedding feast. Today, it's Jesus' blood shed on a tree that refreshes us, you and me, that cleanses us, you and me, white as snow, that opens the gates of heaven. May this blessing, born from his sacrifice, freely given, wash over you today. May our Saviour bless you this day with his abundance. May you be inspired by his example to bless others, and may you be open to receive the blessing that he has for you. Amen.